Hold on to your butts, it's time for a new episode of Destroy All Culture, a sonic death ray from Dimension X that sounds exactly like a weekly podcast hosted by Adam P. Nave and Aiden Morgan. Exposure to Destroy All Culture is 100% fatal, so we put it on the internet. Now listen and die! Lethal effects may take up to 75 years.
Dear Lord, someone let us get to episode 75 of Destroy All Culture. I'm Adam P. Nave. I'm here with Aiden Morgan.
Who let us do that anyway?
I don't know. But even better, you know, celebrate episode 75, which the episode number was completely accidental. We have the return of one of our all-time favorite guests.
Aww. are you going to reveal her name?
I thought you were. So yeah.
I'm handing it off. Tamsin McDonough.
Yay! Do it pretty soon. I was going to do it, so.
You know.
I'm an actor. We're not shy about that kind of stuff. Yeah, I had so much fun last time, so I was like, yes, I will definitely come back.
Excellent.
Well, you know, for people who don't know, Tamsin, of course, is the voice of Lucy on Killjoys, as well as, you know, many other things.
Yes, thank you. Which is premiering this June 30th.
Oh, is it?
Back again.
Is this Miss O? Oh, well, also we've got Miss Odette's Modern Handbook to Manners.
So, that is true. That's we're not sure where that's going. So let's just focus on Killjoys for now.
Okay, sure, sure.
Sometimes these little indie projects, you just never know if they're going to go or not.
Exactly.
You just try them out, see if they go, and if they don't, you just, you know, bury them. Bentley.
Just kind of pretend they never really happened.
I'm gonna tiptoe right past me mentioning that, and we'll go straight to Killjoys.
Hey, there we go. Exactly. It was fun doing it, but it's I'm not sure if we're still gonna run with it. So. Oh,
we'll see.
Who knows? Anything can get resurrected at any time. So
mm-hmm.
Yes. Cool. So Killjoys is coming up, season 3, with a bang, a freaking bang. It's going to be kind of awesome looking at what they've got so far. June 30th on Space in Canada and on Sci-Fi in the States and everywhere else.
Yeah, I know that here in the States it's coming in as part of the new little Friday block of Dark Matter and Wynonna Earp.
Yeah, yeah, well, they're all... I don't think they're, I mean, Dark Matter is considered a sister show, but Wynonna Earp, one of the big writers on Killjoys, she started up Wynonna Earp.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's connections between the three of them, so I think it's a good little trifecta there.
Yeah, I always considered Killjoys and Wynonna Earp kind of more sister shows just because, you know, the showrunners used to do a different show together.
Oh, really? Did Emily do show running with Michelle?
I thought they both were showrunning, or at least created Lost Girl.
Oh, okay. You know what? You know more than I then.
It's always kind of a fun little game to see who from that cast
right
pops up in either show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's where I came from was Lost Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was in Vancouver, of course, because as soon as you leave Toronto, which is where Killjoys is shot, I left Toronto to go to Vancouver, hang out with family, try the Vancouver scene a little bit. And of course, as soon as I leave, hi, we'd like you to audition for. So, but they said they'd done a big, huge sweep. And I'm just going off what I was told. I could be completely wrong and making things up. But this is what I was told, is that they did a big sweep through Toronto and couldn't find exactly what they were looking for. But then somebody remembered me from Lost Girl. And said, remember that super snarky character that you had, you had done then? And can you do that again? But as a spaceship? I was like,
one of those sentences you have to love.
Yeah, exactly. So, and she was a character I really liked. So it was pretty fun to sort of resurrect her. Ooh, I'm using that word twice this day.
Nice.
I know. It's going to be my word of the day. So brought her back. As an AI, so it was pretty fun.
Yeah, no, you know, Lost Girl was such a great, fun little show, and you know, because I do love both Wynonna Earp and Killjoys, you can kind of see the split.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Can't you? It almost like it's right down the middle.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always fun to like watch one and then the other and go like, okay, well now I know who was pushing for this.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Interesting. I never even looked at it that way, but I'm on board with you.
Well, you know, from the inside, I'm sure you don't spend as much time just staring at it the way we do.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were telling me, Adam, before we started, that you have an interesting story.
So, yeah, we before we hit record, we ended up talking about, very briefly, Aiden's strange religious weekend. And
my strange religious weekend.
Which kind of sums it up weirdly. And we still have to hear that story in full.
Sure.
But no, my grandmother who lived on Staten Island in New York, one day, you know, trek all the way out there to hang out with her and have dinner and all this. And she starts telling us, like the whole family, about this, like, new family she met, like these new neighbors called the Normans.
Mm.
And we're like, we've never heard of these Normans. When did they move in? And she's like, oh, it was recent. You know, they were really nice and I met them. And they were like, you should come over and have dinner. So I went over there. And
oh, like, I see where this is going.
Yeah. Okay. She went on for about half an hour describing it. Like, they were really nice, but a little strange. And they were kind of pushy. And all this. Eventually, we're like, wait, you mean Mormons?
Mormons.
like, please do not end up just getting converted to, like, becoming a Mormon because they served a decent meal. Like, this is not cool.
It seemed quite welcoming.
Which is just, oh, the Normans were really nice.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Grandmothers. Gotta love them.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's true.
Yep. And Aiden, you made it out alive, it sounds like.
I did. It was, it was a little weird because my partner is does many things, but one of the things she does occasionally is a little bit of social media work with Ford Canada. So they came to us a while ago. So every so often they'll basically say, "Hey, would you guys like a car for the week? One of our explorers or whatever," and then you can write about it and you know put a couple of photos on Instagram. And we're like, we don't own a car, so we're like, yeah, sure. No problem. So it's like a little sort of, mostly we just get groceries. I mean, really, that's, you know, it's like, oh my God, we've got a car. Let's go get some groceries finally. But this time it was a whole thing this time, because there's a campaign they've got where they want people in Canada to go to Canadian monuments and say, you know, and take photographs. And if your photograph is sufficiently cool, then you can win a free trip to Newfoundland. So we're like, oh, sure. This sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I thought, Norm, Regina, and I hope to hell they don't make us go to Moose Jaw, which is 45 minutes down the road, and photograph the moose. Adam may not know this.
I do not know this.
There's a big moose sculpture outside of Moose Jaw. It's called Mac the Moose. And for years, if you lived around Moose Jaw, if you were a teenager, one of the things you had to do was sneak out there at night with a ladder and spray paint the moose's balls orange. This was...
Oh, really?
Yeah, every time you would drive by, you would see, and I've lived here, you know, for 20-some years now, and you would drive by and reliably, there you'd see that moose and then with orange balls. But they put up a fence around the moose, so it's much harder to get in and spray paint the moose. And it's also harder to get good photos because fences are, right. You know, they're just ugly, right? Right. So we came up with...
Aiden, I have to quickly ask, did you ever succumb to that desire to spray paint the moose balls orange?
I never did. By the time I moved here, I was a little too old for... ball painting hijinks, maybe?
I don't know that you're ever really too old for that, but, you know, continue.
Well, there's a level at which, well, you never lose the desire, but there's a level at which it becomes embarrassing to, like, run the risk of getting arrested for spray painting, you know, moose balls. You know, when you're 15, sure, but when you're 25, it's like, you have to question your choices.
Right, okay.
But, yeah, good.
We live very different lives, is all I'm saying.
Obviously. It's like you're already booking tickets to come up and find a way to spray paint them.
Find a way to do this, yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. Start my crowdfunding campaign now.
Keeping people like Adam out is what you're saying.
Exactly. That's what the fence is for, and that's what increased border controls are for, to keep keeping Adam Knaves out with their cans of orange spray paint. At any rate, so we the process seems to be getting a little bit held up in the week running up to it. We still don't have the car. We still don't have any hotels booked in Moose Jaw or anything. And we discovered that we were the ones who were supposed to book the hotels. So two nights before, maybe the night before, Alan, that's my wife, was, you know, booking through this site. And the weird thing about the site is that it'll give you sort of the rating of the hotel and the approximate location of the hotel, but it won't tell you the name of the hotel. And I don't know why, but it's always a bit of a crapshoot. So we managed to nail...
Sites does that, and it just seems kind of insane, but it's partly that you will go to these hotels that no one wants to go to.
Right.
As we discovered.
Oh, that's what you... whoops, sorry. I ruined the punchline.
No, okay. not at all. You can just see where this is going. Yeah. Well, the first night, which was Friday night, worked out really well. We got a room at a place called the Grant Hall Hotel, which is in downtown Moose Jaw. And it's basically it's been refurbished to look like an Art Deco sort of almost Prohibition era, because I mean, Moose Jaw is steeped in Prohibition era lore. There's a whole sort of story about Al Capone being in Moose Jaw, maybe apocryphal. But at any rate, this place is utterly gorgeous. I mean, it puts CP hotels in Canada to shame with the sort of the level of detail and opulence that you can get there. So we had a great night there, but we couldn't get a second night at the Grant Hall Hotel. So we got another one that I think had a 3-star rating in Moose Jaw. And we booked it, and it said, "Congratulations, you're at the Pilgrim Inn in Karenport."
Whoa.
And it's actually about 25 clicks outside of Moose Jaw, farther away from it's actually sort of even a farther drive from home. And it was just odd. We rented one that had a kitchenette, but it looked like I don't know, like a 50s living room. Wow. It was just the strangest sort of place. The carpet was uncomfortable. The bed felt like comfortable, but not too comfortable. Like, don't get too comfy in this bed because Jesus was the feeling I got from this bed. And oddly enough, we'd also unwittingly booked, not booked, but we'd agreed to go for supper with friends in Regina. So we were driving back and forth several times between our home and our vacation, to extent that I don't even know if my vacation's over yet. I might still be on it, even though I'm sitting in my living room. It's really weird. But anyway, I played up the religious aspect a bit much. It was just a weird vibe more than anything else. But it's been a strange weekend. I'm just and this really caps it off. I'm like, I'm gonna come home and talk with Adam and Tamsin for an hour. Yay.
No, this should be the highlight. What do you mean capping it off? This is the highlight of
this. This is the highlight. Yes.
There you go.
Okay, good save.
He's like, oh, I also had coffee with a couple of very nice trans people that I'd only met once or twice. Mm-hmm. And in Moose Jaw, it's a little bit of a conservative town, so we got lots of strange looks as we were having coffee. So it was, but all in all, it was a fun weekend.
Yeah,
it still is. It's still fun. It's fun right now.
There we go.
So, I find myself with one lingering question.
Yes.
Okay, it's called Moose Jaw.
Yes.
There's a big statue of a moose.
Yes.
But they don't paint the moose's jaw.
It's harder to get to.
But they don't just rename the town Moose Balls.
You think?
I'm just saying, I have issues with this.
Maybe it was originally called Moose Balls, and they just got tired of the bull being painted all the time, so they changed it to Moose Jaw so people wouldn't do it. How about that?
I think you're right. So, yeah, they got tired of like these. And actually, I'm now going to Google the question, not about Moose Balls, but why is Moose Jaw called Moose Jaw?
Never just Google Moose Balls. Just, we will not be held responsible for what happens.
Exactly. You're...
I'm pretty sure that there's probably a tourist store in Moose Jaw. I'm calling it Moose Falls. God damn it.
Yeah, oh my goodness. This is great.
Yeah.
We did it.
The whole purpose of this podcast has now been achieved. I'm saying Moose Falls accidentally.
Exactly.
We can all go home. No, Moose Jaw, it used to be a fur trading place, and it just got the name from the bones. So there you go.
All right.
Yep. Not as exciting as a...
Yeah, I was hoping for a little bit more excitement.
Yeah.
Well, this is
like a...
It is Wikipedia, so I mean...
Well, fair enough. So Killjoys, any moose balls this season?
I haven't seen anything. Lots of green slime. Not so much. Oh, did you lose me?
Nope.
Oh, yeah, lots of green slime. Did you guys see the new poster?
No.
Oh. Yeah, it's very cool. Has Anila and Dutch sort of on opposite sides of Lucy flying off into space, and the three bounty hunters standing in a big puddle of green slime. So there's lots of good stuff.
That's...
Well, it wouldn't be Killjoys without, like, more green slime every season.
Exactly. And Pri's got some very cool stuff coming up. Did a Comic-Con with Tom. So he got to answer, but not answer, a lot of cool questions about that.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. So, there's some very cool things coming up. And it's exciting. It's it just blasts right into it. There's no, you know, oh, I wonder how we're, oh, my goodness, we're in it now. Like, it's very fast.
I mean, the first two seasons did the same thing. You know, I still use my way to get people to watch Killjoys is to tell them, you know, watch the first, like the pre-credit bump on episode one, season one.
Right.
And that's the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Like if you love that, you'll love this entire show. If you think that that's not for you, then don't bother.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, that little bump completely encapsulates the show. So, it's looking pretty darn cool. And there's a whole bunch of new guest stars and new characters and, yeah, there's a lot of amazing stuff coming up.
Cool. Yeah. Without giving, I don't want you, obviously. Well, we do want you to give stuff away, but
you don't know where I live, so.
So, just wondering, what's in store for Lucy and John this season?
Yeah, can't give that away. I mean, I really can't say much. It's you know, their relationship is as it was, and they, you know, they have this affinity and this affection for each other that always, you know, hits that line of weird. Is that weird? But for the first little bit of the first show, you know, she's without her Johnny.
Oh, no. But yeah, obviously.
Right.
Oh, man.
Last episode from the episode 10, she's without her Johnny, so things are not cool.
Lucy, even crankier.
Exactly. Cranky 2.0, you know.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, it's looking very cool. It's hard, though, because they did, you know, they killed off some really great characters last season. So it's, I think the fans are now like, what are you going to do this season?
That's one of the best things about, you know, any shows, when you really get the sense that no one is really safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So no one is really safe. I'm going to give you that. How about that?
we'll take it.
We'll take it happily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, I'm just so excited and I want to say more and I just can't. Yeah. That'd be a lot of fun.
No, I'm looking forward to the episode, to the season. It's
right.
We've had Dark Matter, we've had Winona Earp, and it's just not complete without Killjoys in there.
A little trifecta in there, it's almost a mild hybrid of Dark Matter and Winona, isn't it?
Yeah,
a little bit.
There's aspects of each in there. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, some of the snap and fun of Winona Earp and the setting of Dark Matter, just nicely put together.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, so we don't we won't know if it's renewed for another season until sort of the it's like the very end of the season. September or something like that we end up finding out if it's renewed again. So everybody watch and enjoy, and we'll see if we can get this back for another one and see where they go. Because I think Michelle Lavretta has, I think, about 5 seasons minimum planned out in her head. So I just want to get to the end of that 5 seasons and just see where she goes from there, like where she launches after that. So it's she's just so clever. So and really disappointingly nice, you know, like you can be nice. I mean, come on, leave something for the rest of us. So, but no, she's incredibly kind and clever and witty and fun. So, you just kind of want more and more and more from her and just tap on the brain, you know? So, yeah. So I'd like just 5 seasons just to see where she goes with it.
Cool. Yeah, and I figure season 6 is just an entire flashback to Priya's warlord.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's the season we need.
Well, there might be a little something in this season.
Ooh, fancy.
As soon as I say in high voice means that I haven't let the secret out yet.
It's like the pressure is rising. It's like,
I know. I want to tell people because it's really good, but I can't. Yeah, no, there's some really cool stuff coming up. You're going to be, everyone's going to be pretty excited and very happy. So
nice.
Yeah, a little bit of backstory on a few people. So, yeah. So we're all looking forward to it and getting amped up for it. So I'm hoping I can, what am I trying to say? Tweet along with it at the same time.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Are you doing a bunch of conventions this season?
Yeah, doing a couple more. They sort of seem to pop up here and there. So it's sort of like, yes, I will. I love them. They're so much fun. We just did, Tom and I just did, Tom and I like doing them together. We're kind of a gruesome twosome. we just did Manicon. No, that's not right. That's trying to say Manitoba and KeyCon at the same time. I did Manitoba's KeyCon. and that was really neat because they basically took over the whole hotel and had, you know, their convention rooms where you know, the artists area were and all the, I'm not sure what's that called, like sort of where the artists are and where they people will sell things like, you know, Ghostbusters.
Artist Alley.
Pardon me?
Artist Alley, usually.
Yeah, Artist Alley. But they've also got all the cool products and comics.
Right.
And all that stuff, yeah. So they took over like an entire like convention space for that. And then they had a million, like this Comic-Con was just packed, like almost from the point you woke up until like 10 o'clock at night. It was just packed. They had Phil King. You guys know what Phil King is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did not. There were certain places that said no Phil King allowed. And there was a big, you know, circle with the line through it. And then there was rooms where there was Phil King going on, and you sort of step in and go, well, that was different. And there was LARPing, which we didn't know what LARPing was either.
Oh, wow. Now, yes.
Yeah. We stepped into a couple of rooms to watch some LARPing. We took some dance lessons in the medieval style, and we just did everything because we just kind of looked at the schedule and popped around to everything. It was like, this is awesome.
So you guys should try to do Emerald City in Seattle.
Oh, that would be fun.
Because it is huge, but it's my favorite show of the year.
Is it?
Yeah, because I have to work a bunch of cons, and I only do like 2 a year now just because of money.
Right.
But, you know, having lived East Coast and West Coast, I've seen tons of them, and Emerald City is just, it's huge.
Mm.
Like distressingly so at times, but really well managed, so it never feels crushing.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's just so many things to do, and so many really, you know, great artists to meet, and all that.
Oh wow!
It uses like most of the Seattle Convention Center at this point. to like the point where they have to like offload the gaming stuff to a hotel nearby.
Holy wow,
that's huge.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, it sounds like a good one. It's more kind of they actually, these are interesting things. You find out that there's agents who will run around and find these cons on your behalf.
Oh yeah,
right. I have no idea. You know, until you get on with a sci-fi show and people start requesting you and you say, oh, I actually have an agent for that. It's very interesting. It's fun things to learn. But yeah, so they actually go and sort all that stuff out. So all of a sudden they phone and say, hi, you're free this weekend because you're booked on blah, 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 if you are. I'm like, yeah, sure. but yeah, they're really fun. Tom and I love doing them. So we're hoping, we keep trying to be together on them. So we're doing one in, I don't know how to say it, Waxaco, Texas.
Oh.
I just call it Waxaco because I can say it. But it's called Waxacon. And it's November. And it's with Jeff Teravainen, who's part of Dark Matter.
Oh, cool.
Nice. And the Enders, yeah. So he and I are going to do Waxacon, which should be interesting because I've never been to Texas. So I'm pretty excited.
Texas is its own weird place.
Planet?
Yeah. Yep. It's its own planet, definitely. Yep.
But good in November.
Definitely. Well, better than Toronto in November.
So. Oh, right.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. So, no, I'll probably take a week afterwards and go and check out Dallas, and especially Austin, I hear, is pretty great. So, might as well. I'm down there.
Yeah.
You know. Right.
Yeah. Well, I went to one con this year. It was the Regina Fan Expo. And the main reason that I went is my wife told me I had to go because Pat Mastroianni, aka Joey Jeremiah of Degrassi, was going to be there. And the truth is about myself that I look a lot like Pat Mastroianni.
Really?
And she said, just go get a picture with him. And I'm like, oh, okay, suppose I'll get a picture with him. I asked with Joey Jeremiah, and it was funny because I walked up to him, and a friend of mine was working the con, and he caught sight of me walking up, and Pat was turned away from me, and my friend had this look on his face. He said, and he looked at Pat and me, and he said, Pat, turn around, Pat, and he did, and they both stared at me, and I said, I think we should get some pictures together. He's like, yes. I mean, I still had to pay for the picture, but it was fun. We did this weird mirror improv thing. It was a bit of silliness, yeah. And so he was very kind. He put on Twitter. He said, "I met this really handsome guy at the Regina Fan Expo." Yeah, it was great.
That's fun.
Yeah,
did you have a good time at the Regina Con. What's it called?
Regina Fan Expo. There's a bunch of cons called Fan Expos in Western Canada and such. Yeah.
Oh, we got Fan Expo Toronto.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, they're a wide ranging. They're Canada's biggest con company at this point.
Hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it was good. The artist alley was kind of small though. I was kind of wondering where half of it was. For some reason, they've kind of shrunk this year a little bit. Yeah, I asked a couple of artists what was going on, and they didn't really know. They just said, for some reason, maybe the market isn't as big here as they thought, so it's a little smaller than it has been in previous years.
Okay. Who was there any other than this Patrick guy? Was there other cool guests?
There is another Degrassi alum. There is Stefan Brogren from there. They had a guy from The Walking Dead. I can never remember his name, but he plays Abraham. He's the red-haired guy with the sort of the Southern Colonel mustache. Turned out he is like one of the best like raconteur type storytellers. It was just great. He loved being there. He loved talking with the fans. It's nice to see that when you see someone who's really getting a kick out of the experience. And of course, William Shatner was there as well.
Yeah,
I missed William Shatner, unfortunately, but he apparently had a wonderful time there. So
Is he from Regina?
Oddly enough, I think he is originally, or he has a family connection to Regina.
it's almost surprising that he'd be there. But if he's from there anyway, he'd be like, yeah, sure, I'll go to my hometown.
Yeah, I think
get a free trip, you know.
Yeah, I think he went to high. I think he spent a year in high school in Regina. I think is the connection. But I suspect it's mostly because it's on the circuit. So
right, you know. Right.
But yeah, I'm sure he enjoyed being in Regina.
Oh, yeah. It's somewhere I've not been, but I have a couple of close friends from there, and they say it's a great city, great town.
It's not bad. If somebody said you're coming to Saskatchewan, where would you go? I'd kind of point people to Saskatoon because it's an unbearably pretty city with a river and university and stuff like that. Regina's a little more sort of governmenty, but it's still if you know where to go, it can be really nice. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So you overall had fun there?
Overall had a fine time. I like photographing people doing cosplay, so there was
yes,
that's always fun.
Yeah, no, I like that too. There's just so much great stuff. And usually, for the few that I've done so far, we get asked to judge the cosplay contest.
Oh, nice.
Really fun. And you end up learning so much about, you know, what's considered good cosplay and you know, sort of all the rules with it and all the, you know, highlights, you know, to give points to that you wouldn't have thought that this is what's important here, you know. Mm-hmm. So, it's pretty neat.
Yeah,
the amount of work they put in is just incredible.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's the thing, though, is that you have to decide, okay, so that person may actually look slightly better than this person, but that person bought their stuff or had it made for them. This person made it themselves. So you more points to the person who actually, you know, things like this. So it's cool.
Yeah, some costumes are kind of ubiquitous because they're kind of easy. Like, for example, I remember at this con, lots of people were doing Negan from The Walking Dead because all you needed was like a red ascot, the motorcycle jacket, and the baseball bat. And voila, you got Negan. But there are some people who do obscure sort of anime stuff, and it's like, and the level of detail and care is just, it's unbelievable. Like, I'm in awe of that sort of talent and obsessiveness.
My co-writer, DJ Kirkbride, he has an uncanny gift. Because I can almost never tell Supernatural cosplayers. Because it's just like, it's a plaid shirt and some jeans. You know, you can't. Right. And for some reason, he can pick them out of a crowd. Like when we're working our table, he'd be like, oh, great Supernatural. And I'm like, how do you know they're not just like living in Seattle? How can you tell?
Right. Yep. No, it's such a cool range. The Manitoba one, the KeyCon, I really liked it because it also had a theme, which I didn't realize some of them did. Yeah, so it was Princess Bride. So it was the whole thing was As You Wish. So a few people came as a man in black and it was really neat. But you get quite a range, you know, you get people from Lord of the Rings to an anime character to you know, RoboCop, it's pretty wild, and it's just, you know, only limited by your imagination.
Right. I don't do Dragon Con, but I have a lot of friends who do down in Atlanta, and they have a whole costume parade one day of the show, and there's a group that every year, and they get different people to do different ones, but they do the elements.
Oh, wow.
And, like, that's their only group thing, it's just like, you know, this year you're Mercury, whatever it is. And watching how they come up with ways to, you know, figure out, like, I have to be this element this year.
Wow.
It's always just a lot of fun.
I'm nitrogen.
Yeah. I'm nitrogen.
I'm helium. That's all I do if I were helium. I just walk around. Hello.
The actor in me, not so much the scientist.
So I think Tamsin, you'll know you've truly arrived when you show up at a con and somebody is cosplaying as Lucy.
Yeah. Well,
literally as the ship.
Yeah. Well, there's been a few people who are getting Lucy tattoos.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, and it's mildly, I just kind of look at them slightly terrified. Like, okay, that's going to be really big, right cross splash across the middle of your thigh.
Wow.
Have you run into anyone yet who's asked you to sign? Because I know I have a friend actually who had, I think he has the entire, I forget who he's missing, But he's gotten signatures from the entire Firefly cast.
Oh, wow.
And then he gets them tattooed.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
wow. No, I haven't had that yet. That sounds terrifying as well.
Yeah. You know.
That's a fan. Oh, my God.
Yeah, hugely wonderful for my ego and the writer's egos, but slightly terrifying, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun getting all the fan art and stuff like that. That's more where I think people are with the ship. It's that they make buttons and little 3D Lucys and the little 3D Lucys are really cute because Sci-Fi released a 3D printing.
Yeah. And if you remember, I asked you for someone to mail something to you that came back to me. I don't know what I did wrong. I've said that again, which is I had a friend who has a 3D printer.
Wow.
Print like a decent size one of those.
Oh, nice. Yeah, well, they had at KeyCon, they had huge ones, and they were up on these stands and everything. It was really cool.
Cool.
Yeah. We'll sort out the address after. I'm not sure what happened.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, things happen. But yeah. Well, but eventually one should find its way to you.
Yes, exactly.
I've noticed that Sci-Fi has been doing that. I think it's a brilliant move. Oh, because, you know, a lot of the smaller shows, you're not going to get, like, you're never going to get Dark Matter action figures, you know?
Yeah.
But I know for Dark Matter and Killjoys and now The Expanse, they've put up 3D models up on, like, Thingiverse, so you can go ahead and print them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like it. You say that people, you know, because, yeah, we're smaller shows, so we're not necessarily, I'm just saying, just in case, just keeping that open, because I love having an action figure myself. we may not get action figures, but one of my sisters, she loves having projects. So I don't know if you saw online, this was a while ago. This was also recently, but my sister took, she loves repurposing Funko Pop.
Oh.
Characters. Yeah. She took Fifth Element's Lilo Dallas, turned her into Lucy Bot.
Oh, sweet.
That's adorable.
Oh my goodness. And it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. She even, you know, printed the box up with typical sibling jabs right on it. And then recently for my birthday in April, she came out and brought with her a mini pop. So the little keychain and it made another one. So I've now got the little mini one and the large one, both complete with sibling jabs.
Wow.
Yeah. So I do have one of those. And then actually Searle created, because she was having fun with it, she created one for Pri, one of his favorite outfits. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. No, she and where did she take it from? I think it was Dwayne Johnson's character in G.I. Joe. That was the, as she calls it, spirit animal. Yeah. So, yeah, this repurposing Funko Pop is actually a big thing.
I was not familiar with it.
Yeah.
But that's,
yeah, people do a lot of custom stuff. Those and Lego minifigs.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, there's a huge Lego minifig, like, custom thing.
Ah, cool. Well, what is it? So it's Lego, what is it called?
The minifigs, like the little, you know, people.
Oh, is that, minifigs.
Minifigs, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and so they actually will change those.
Yeah, they'll custom paint them and...
I've seen that. I've seen that on the internet here and there. Yeah.
Yeah, a bunch of cons will have tables where this is what people do, and they'll just sell them to you fairly cheap.
Nice. Around here, we just spray paint moose balls. So.
Right.
Well, you're getting there. Give it a few years.
Yeah, you'll expand your horizons. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So. Yeah, who knows? I do wonder how big a show has got to be before it starts getting its little characters.
Yeah, I don't think there's like a set. I think it's more of a cultural thing. Like,
yeah,
not so much like ratings or how many people watch it, so much as just how many people are just aware of it in the landscape.
Yeah, so enough that people will buy it to make it worth their while to
look it out. Well, and the Funko people have a really interesting business model for that, frankly.
Yeah.
Because they'll do smaller runs of things. You know, like, I'm sure they didn't sell that many of, like, the Golden Girls.
Oh, but, the Golden Girls?
Yeah, of course they did. But, like, they'll do the Golden Girls, and they know that they're not going to sell as much as they will of, say, Spider-Man.
Right.
Or Groot, or whatever else.
Right. But because they're so similar, it's not that hard for them to just, like, knock out a thing and just, you know...
Right.
they can just take care of it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's the thing, though, is that it's all just one body shape, basically.
Right.
One for female, one for male, generally speaking, and then you just, yeah, switch them up.
Yeah. Ah.
Yeah, no, they're pretty cool, and that's, you know, and then you can also get all the repurposing, and they actually make a blank one.
Ah, okay.
Nice. You
know, just put everything on top of. But Sora likes using a spirit animal, which I think is kind of fun. Yeah.
You guys want to get a blank one, just paint like a big blue G on it, just there you go, it's a Greendale human being. Done.
There you go.
The easiest customization in the world.
Exactly. Yep. But, yeah, no, they're pretty fun. I've now started collecting some of the little pop keychains just because they're cute.
Yeah, they're pretty. It's all kind of adorable. Yeah. I'm actually now on the Funko website. I'm just,
yeah.
I'm just kind of like seeing what there is to see.
Yeah, I'm curious about that Lego stuff. I don't know if I should tell her about it or will she get obsessed now.
Oh, that's always well. And the other problem, of course, with the Killjoy stuff is that if you look up something like, you know, Killjoy's Lego or whatever, people do them about the band.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about the band. Yeah.
So you get a little confused that way.
Yep. Yep. That's true. Huh. Yeah, the band. Yeah. I've never heard the band. I'm not much of a music person, I should say. Meaning I just kind of listen to the radio.
Well, there's actually a couple of different Killjoy bands out there. So there's a Canadian Killjoys and a UK Killjoys.
No. Wow. Yep. Oh, there's one of them is a Canadian one.
Yeah, they're from Hamilton.
No way.
Yeah.
Now they need to guest star on the show.
Yep. I mean, they're not that far. They could just drive in.
Yeah. Like, they have really great music on Killjoys.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They really do. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty phenomenal. Like, I'm just watching, like, this. It feels like so much. Not that it's a small show, but it's, you know, it's not a Walking Dead, but right. It's like, this show feels so much bigger than I think, you know, than probably the budget that it has.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's also going all over the world now. So, you know, I think the budget may be increasing, but it's
nice. The thing is,
the music was always good right from day one, mm-hmm. You know.
I'm gonna, again, I think it throws all the way back. Like Lost Girl had great music, you know, Wynonna Earp has great music. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, it must be just the Canadian landscape. We've just got a lot of great people, and they're maybe just open to new people and different and trying things out just because it's such a rich landscape in Canada.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I will admit I kind of missed the first season theme song, but, you know.
I like that too. I wonder what they're going to do this year. Ooh,
I am curious, like, are they going to change it again? Or?
Pardon me?
I said I have been curious if they're going to change it again.
I assume they will. If they've changed, I'm assuming. I don't actually know, but because they changed it so much the first from one to two, that they would probably change it again.
Hmm.
I don't know.
It took a little bit of getting used to the last time they did this, so
yeah.
I don't know if we can handle another change. I'm sure we'll be fine.
People are now possibly expecting that it will be changed.
Yeah, that's quite possible. Yeah.
Yeah. And just to decide which one they like the best and, you know, to create conversation and debate and that kind of thing, you know.
Yeah. And I think my understanding of, I think I've, and Adam can back me up on this, but the first season theme song was just, I mean, it wasn't even part of a song. It was just like 30 seconds of music that they'd come up with to fill in for the credits. Right. And it just turned out to be really, really catchy. So I wondered when they changed it for the second season. I thought maybe this is what they wanted in the first place, but hadn't sort of gotten around to it. But I kind of missed that little bit of music from the first season.
Yeah, I liked both.
I like both.
Catchier, I think is the right word. That the first season was catchier, the second season was cooler.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for that whoo-whoo thing that they do. It's
Yeah. No, I liked it. It was very catchy. It was a little poppier, and I think the second season was a little edgier and cooler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So third season would be the noise of green slime.
Talking about because I don't know.
That's right. You're just you're guessing, but it's an educated.
I'm really guessing here.
Yeah.
So I'm curious as to what they're doing with that. Actually, and we'll see if there's another outcry from changing it up again.
More angry fans.
One of those things, because we went through a huge period of basically no opening credits in TV shows.
Oh yeah.
Well, if you look at say Lost, I mean, right. the opening theme song of Lost is literally just a noise.
Yeah,
okay. I Lost.
And well, I think the reason they've done that, this has happened, is because there's as commercials have taken up more and more airtime on television, there's less and less time for theme songs. So they really need that real estate. And right. So you get shorter or non-existent themes. Right. So it's really nice to actually have theme songs again in some shows.
Yeah. And you know, Netflix has started to bring back long openings because yes. They can.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, I'm watching Homeland, and mm-hmm. it's a very cool one, and you know, they change it slightly every season, but it's the exact same tone and feel and mm-hmm. Everything else, so it's pretty cool. And I didn't actually notice that going along with the various seasons. I would always just fast forward, and now I actually had to go back
right.
to all seasons and check how it was different in each one, because fast forwarding, you don't actually notice that it's different.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've got like little snippets of dialogue from the season yeah. in the theme. So if you listen carefully, you can kind of sometimes get an idea of what might be coming.
I know, but I never did, because I was just, looks like the same thing. And I would just blast through it. And I was like, oh my God. So I had to, I think yesterday is when I actually noticed, because I think I got up and walked away and I heard a different line being said in the beginning. And so I went, and I like, right up. And I was like, what happened? What? Aw. So I watched that and had to go back and watch not one, because I knew one, but two, three, and four.
There's something about like a good show opening that just, you know, it can set the tone, but it also just puts you in that mindset.
I think so too. I wonder if shows like, and I'm just positing, shows like Lost, which I actually never did see, yeah. is that, was there a possibility for a theme song, or is that the whole point? Is that they wanted you just thrown into this world? And
I think with like Lost, they want you to thrown into this world. I mean, I know with The Shield, yeah. which had, they actually licensed an entire song. And used literally a second of it.
Yeah. For The Shield?
Oh, yeah, it's just that like little scream.
Oh yeah.
That makes up their theme music.
Yeah.
It's actually part of an entire song. That they had to license. I'm like, that's weird. But for them it really was just it was time crunch always.
Right.
Was it? Okay.
So they just, you know, specifically for them, they just needed the time back. But there was something like, you know, if you put on like the Parks and Rec theme, you know, right. it's like, oh, I'm going back home. I'm going to watch Parks and Rec now. You know, just yeah. it tosses you into that brain space.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know with what was it, Ed back in the day, the show Ed, which no one can ever see again.
I don't know it.
It's one of those weird shows, like in the early 2000s, that there were music rights issues with the music in the show. So they never released it on home video.
Oh. Okay.
And then by the time they solved it, they're like, well, it's 15 years old. No one cares anymore.
Right.
I don't even know the show at all.
Oh, it's actually a great, like, Tom Cavanaugh stars in it, and, you know, Tom Cavanaugh's just a gift.
Yeah.
And it's this great little homey little show, you know.
Okay.
And they had a song they used for the first season, and they changed it for the second, and apparently fans got so mad.
Oh, really?
And like, yeah, no, fans got so mad they changed it back.
Oh.
After season two.
Wow.
So just like, that's a thing.
Yeah.
Well, if I recall.
Change that on a show. I now am remembering. And he was basically just this sweet dude who lived in a small town, yeah. kind of Gilmore Girlish.
Right. It was like Gilmore Girls, except unlike Gilmore Girls, when the characters were complete assholes, which they were frequently, they got called on it. Unlike Gilmore Girls, which I love Gilmore Girls too, but let's be honest, you know,
because of that, I actually had to stop. Like, these people are really awful.
Right. And Ed was way more that same kind of scope, that same sort of just, it's a small town and just people living their lives and you know, drama and comedy, but they would call each other on their crap.
Yeah. Now I want to watch it,
but you can't. And,
No Ed for any of us. No Ed for you.
It really is a shame, because I think the show would do really well now, like, if they ever brought it back for streaming.
Yeah. Well, didn't they try to bring back Gilmore Girls for Netflix?
They did, and that was an interesting thing.
Yeah, they were still jerks, as it turns out.
I never bothered. I couldn't get through all the seasons. I tried a few, and there was some fun stuff, but yeah, they were just, I wanted them to die, so that wasn't a good thing.
You know, well, I think my love of Gilmore Girls is like my love of most Sorkin shows, which is that these are terrible people, and they're not really being written as human beings, but the sound of the patter of the dialogue is so interesting and compelling.
Yeah.
That, like, I'll watch it for that and just know that I'm watching human monsters, you know?
Right. Exactly.
Really witty human monsters.
Yeah, right. But Sorkin, all the characters knew that they weren't good human beings. They were pretty kind of, you know, it was pretty obvious, because I always sort of like, okay, but at least they're trying to do things and it's more interesting, like it's on a bigger scale or whatever it is.
Right.
And also then you watch another kind of, what was the, I can't even think of it. House of Cards, and you realize, okay, so West Wing people were angels.
Yeah, one of my favorite things is to watch episodes of Veep.
Okay.
And realize that you can map it to an episode of West Wing.
Oh.
And like, really? Oh, they did this on West Wing, except they weren't all, like, demons.
they weren't all psychopaths, like on Veep. Oh my God. But I love Veep so much. I mean, it's just, it's pure cynical joy. I feel like I'm mainlining something, not just watching it.
See, I haven't watched enough Veep. I watched a little bit at a friend's, so I need to get the videos. But one of my favorite sitcoms of all time, and it was never something that was really huge, but I just was so sad when it left, was The New Adventures of Old Christine.
Oh, yeah, with Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Clark Gregg. Yeah, that was a really fun show.
Yeah.
I love that. That's probably my favorite sitcom of all time.
Cool.
Yeah, I loved it. Every character was amazing in it and ridiculous. A dickhead, but you expect that.
Exactly.
Right.
Sitcom.
That was always one of those shows for me that it wasn't one that I go, oh, New Adventures of Old Christine is on, I have to watch it. But if I would turn on the television and it was on, I'd be like, yes. And then I'd enjoy the hell out of it.
See, that's Modern Family for me.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Oh, I love
it every time. And I'm like, oh, Modern Family. But I never would go, I need to type this. Like some things. But New Adventures, I have all the videos and watch them, you know, a couple times a year. I go through and do a binge, you know.
You got all the Funko pop figurines and everything?
Oh, I don't. Did they make pop figurines of that?
I don't think they did. Just don't trust the things I say. I just sometimes.
I'm like suddenly thinking, I'm like, I know they did Gilmore Girls. They're doing Parks and Rec. I'm like, how? No, they didn't do this. Yeah.
I think they should do new. I'd like to see a Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Maybe, well, if there's a Veep thing.
I bet Veep is out.
Yeah. Your sister could repurpose Funko.
Yeah, she could. Yeah, no, that was a good one. I missed that one.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's strange the things you end up not realizing that you like, or that you never thought you would like so much, and what your strange little, you know, collections of videos and so on are going to be. And you're like, oh, yeah, I didn't know I was that person.
Right? Just those shows that you end up just watching constantly, and suddenly you realize that you're watching them constantly.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Burn Notice, that's another one I watch constantly.
The second season I loved.
Yeah, that's my thing. Is like the first two seasons end perfectly, and so I just stopped watching.
Yeah, no, I've got. I think I don't have the last season because it was just awful. It was just everybody crying all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, first couple, I think I still enjoyed 3, maybe 4. I can't remember even how many there are. But yeah, the last season was like, why is everyone crying?
Okay, I'd watch it if they were crying with like Michael Weston doing like weird voiceovers about how to use their tears for something. You know, that right. Maybe I'd be in for.
You can collect their tears and make a bomb out of it. What?
Yeah, from salt creates a, yeah.
Yeah.
Would be better. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's strange things you end up liking. Justified, that's another one I watch constantly.
That was a great show.
Yeah.
Well, it's sad to see that.
Walton Goggins. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, Walton Goggins. But everybody. I mean, it's...
Not to dismiss anyone else, but it, you know, I have a soft spot for Walton Goggins, frankly.
Yeah, no, he's fantastic. Well, you know, he wasn't, spoiler for anybody, turn off your ears, he wasn't supposed to be in the second episode.
Yeah.
Really? I did not know this.
Yeah. He was, but everyone, after they watched the pilot, they rewrote everything to keep him in it.
Yeah, apparently at some point they stopped writing dialogue for him.
Really?
Who's you kidding?
I mean, because he's actually won awards for like his own stuff and his own writing, and they were just like, no, you got, just do it.
Just go for it.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah. No, he was, but also, I think some of the best bad guys of all time. Margot Martindale.
Oh yeah,
terrifying, freaking terrifying.
I love Margot Martindale.
Oh God, she was good as this terrible, awful bad guy, and just you wouldn't expect her to be. She looks like some sort of somebody's mom.
Oh,
you know. But Neil McDonough, who always plays a good bad guy, but he was phenomenal. The bad guy they created with this one.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's some, and apparently Neil McDonough is really religious, and he won't do he won't do sex scenes. This is what I read somewhere, because he's a sort of a pretty strict Catholic apparently, but he seems to be really good at playing evil sons of bitches, and being like gloating and so good at it. Yeah. Well, he's now on on the last season of Legends of Tomorrow. He was like the best part of it because he just smirked his way through the whole thing, and it was just a delight every moment he was on screen.
Well, maybe I should watch Legends of Tomorrow. I watched one episode and it was not for me.
Well,
it's not a great show, frankly.
It's up and down.
But he's like, whenever he's on camera, you're just like, I love this show, and then he leaves.
That might do it for me. Yeah.
Now he shows up and he's got this look on his face like, look at all these losers. That's the look on his face. And it's just so much fun because he knows exactly what kind of show he's on, and he's just enjoying himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch of him and John Barrowman playing off of each other, which is also just, they have way too much fun.
And who was the other actor?
John Barrowman. He was big from, Adam, what's the show? Doctor Who.
He was on Doctor Who. He was
and
on
Torchwood.
Torchwood. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen either of those.
He's a British. Well, he's big in the UK, but he's an American actor. It's an interesting thing. But if you like Neil McDonough, and if you haven't seen this show, I recommend Terriers.
Terriers.
Yeah. Only 11 episodes. It's sort of like I don't know how to describe it, but it's kind of like a hangout show. It's sort of a private investigator show taking place on like a California beach town. It is it's a magnificent show, and it was taken from us way too soon.
It really actually worked well as a single, like, what is it, 11, 13 episodes, something like that?
Yeah, just a single story.
Yeah, 13. It's just one single noir novel.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Yeah,
With
Donald Logue and Michael Raymond Jones,
and Neil McDonough as a bad guy who pops up in several episodes.
Interesting. I've never heard of it. Terrier, like the dog. Terrier,
like the dog. Yeah, and it's on. I think it's on Netflix.
It depends on the
pops
week.
Up and exactly. It pops up and it disappears.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen it. Scoping through that, I haven't seen it, but. I will now look for it.
Yep.
Interesting.
And it's not. I mean, with only like one short season, it's not a huge investment of time, but it's well worth it.
Well, it's like Pushing Daisies for me. I tell everybody watch it because fantastic.
See, the Pushing Daisies Wonderfall fight always happens then.
Oh.
I'm on the Wonderfall side of that. Like Pushing Daisies was almost too cute for me.
Oh.
Well, I did like Wonderfalls as well, I gotta say.
Yeah, I just need that extra bit of meanness.
Ah, okay. See, there's just so many mean shows out there that I was really happy that this was a non-mean show.
I can see that.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Like all the, you know, people get upset sometimes with Sorkin stuff. Oh, it's just all clever people standing around saying clever things. It's like, How many stupid shows do we have with stupid people standing on some things? I enjoy those. Don't get me wrong. But I would like one where it's smart people standing around saying smart
people. Well, that's what hooked me on Chuck back in the day.
Chuck, I never saw that. I do know which one you're talking about. This spy, yeah. Spy guy?
Yeah. Right. And Chuck was one of those shows that, like, everyone had good intentions.
Okay.
Like, they were just honestly good people.
Right.
And it wasn't something that you got anywhere else.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing.
Sometimes it was just, like, you know, fun and cute and silly and, like, yeah. Again, like, at the end of the day, like, they're all just good people.
Yeah, little Mary Sunshine is nice sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so much of the dark, dark stuff all the time, which is great. Like, I'm addicted to those Nordic noirs.
Oh, yeah.
Freaking just finished The Bridge, and I was angry that there was no more. I was furious. I'm like, what? No more? Yeah.
Yeah, I literally worry what's going to happen with my parents once they run out of Nordic noirs, like, to watch. Because they love them so much. I like them too, but my parents just, like, they're all over them. Yeah.
Right. Well, it's just the, and I can't think of her name right now, which is terrible, but the actress who plays this character that I can't think, it's a name that starts with A, most simple name ever. But she is, for women in general, but for a female actress as well, just to see a character like that, who is just really well-rounded, not patronized. And I don't mean not patronized by the other characters, but not patronized by the writers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I do get tired of that. Like, you look at something like Blindspot, you know, or The Blacklist. You look at those and, oh yeah, female led show. No, it's not. No, yeah. You basically dumped a female at the forefront and then pretended that this was her show when really it isn't. And you're just saying, look, strong female, look. Yeah. With no hope to her whatsoever. And I don't necessarily need a strong female. The lead in The Bridge, I don't think she was that strong. She was pretty broken.
Yeah.
She was interesting, and you wanted to know what she was going to do, and she was a mess. She was a psychological and emotional mess at all times, but you know, she was well-rounded and cool, you know. And it's, I don't need this quote-unquote one-dimensional strong female. I find it boring and patronizing.
Yeah
which of course brings us right back to things like Killjoys.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and Winona Earp and Lost Girl, and, like, you know.
Yeah. And these are, I mean, they have decided, okay, we're going to go with the lead being a strong woman. Okay, great. Okay. Now let's see what you do with your strong woman, because strong is just, you know, one aspect. And so it's nice when, because they are actions, you do need, she does need to be strong. But you know, that they're so well-rounded, because that's the part that's interesting to me. It's not the fact that she can throw a punch. That's, well, I certainly hope so if she's leading a bounty hunter.
Right.
She screams and cries and runs into the corner every time somebody starts, you know, throwing punches at her. That's not going to work really well. But that should be the least of it. The main is all the other stuff. You know, that's sort of a given, that she should be good on her feet, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that's why I really like all these shows where it's non-patronized chicks. And I think sci-fi is a lot better for that.
I completely agree.
Yeah,
it's one of the real pleasures of watching a lot of science fiction shows. And I think we're so used to having shows in which women have never been written as actual characters. They're just sort of there for, like, you know, they're either kind of like a sort of a random, like, sex reward for guys, or like villains or something, which is, and it's boring.
It is.
Yeah. So it's really nice that there's some shows that have begun to figure out that, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, I really want some of the, you know, sort of the mainstream TV to go and take a look at what sci-fi is doing with their characters, because I think part of what, and I'm just spitballing here, but I think a bit of what the difficulty can be is that, oh, well, we're going to lose our male audience if we put a, you know, even sometimes just a regular looking chick in there who's not, you know, stunning and wearing low cut tops all the time. Even though, yes, they are on the sci-fi shows that we're talking about to be. But, you know, if we don't do that, we're going to lose our male audience, because they're not going to be able to watch women, you know, doing these things.
Yeah, be people. It's right. It's bizarre.
Exactly, be people. But also, you know, be kind of in with one aspect of their personality, be kick-ass. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And it's I think if it's done well, like Killjoys, like Winona Earp, etc., you do get the guys because it's done properly, it's done well, and that it's just a great character.
Yes.
Who happens to be female.
Well, and I think the reason it really does pop more in genre TV and movies, you know, for the last good Lord, is all down to Carrie Fisher.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know,
it was big.
And Margot Kidder. Like, all of a sudden you could have these characters.
Yeah. But also even just comics going from, you know, way back where they started to do, you know, Supergirl and all these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And watching Wonder Woman. When I was reading comics, I didn't love Wonder Woman. I found her boring, but I did appreciate that she was considered, you know, strong and good and you know, kind and decent and all these things. I did appreciate that. I just, you know, was more interested in the X-Men females.
Yeah.
Who had just sort of more color and interest to them.
Yeah, they had more of an internal life.
Exactly. And it was just more fun for me. But again, it was, you know, you like you said, too, I think, yeah, with Carrie Fisher coming in, you know, and unfortunately, I have a problem with the new Star Wars that are out because they're not Carrie Fisher's. They're the patronized chicks where, oh, look, we put a with the head. Look, oh, she's boring. And there's no reason for why she can kick somebody else's ass who's been training 10 times longer than she has and is twice her size. But look, she can do it. And it's, but that's not interesting. Look at Carrie, look at Princess Leia. She was a jerk half the time. And I loved that. You know what I mean? And then sometimes she would save them. Sometimes they would save her. And it was this roundabout where everybody was, it was part of a team, and she held up her part of the team in the way that she could. So, yeah.
I think overall we are seeing that more and more, especially in genre, and hopefully it will bleed.
Yeah.
Hopefully, yeah. You know.
Well, I think it is, like even just taking Homeland, Carrie's not she can be strong, but she's also quite a broken mess.
Mm-hmm.
She's great. And she makes sense, and a big part of the following is, you know, male viewers, again, they're not all upset that this chick is running around, you know, creating havoc and also solving havoc. And, you know, I think it's a great character.
Yes.
You know, whether you like her or not, I don't necessarily even like her that much.
No. She's kind of an ass. Yeah, sometimes.
Right. But that's okay, too.
That is okay.
Exactly. Like, I don't need to like Neil McDonough plays bad guys all the time, and I will watch pretty much anything he's in, you know, and hate him. Hate him so much, you know.
See, my problem is I keep seeing things in, like, Legend of Tomorrow, where I end up rooting for him. Because he's the one who's obviously having fun.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you deserve a win, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I just found that Legends of Tomorrow, everyone is a little flat.
Oh, totally.
And I wanted it to be great, you know?
Yeah.
But
I mean, it's why, you know, I think both me and Ian love Riverdale, too.
Oh, I haven't watched it.
Well, if nothing else, they fix the Benny and Veronica problem. They do not exist in service of Archie.
Oh. Right.
They're not in competition. Yeah. Like, it's established almost immediately that they're friends. And it makes for a much better dynamic and much more interesting to watch.
Interesting. Yeah, I think I only did a little bit did Archie for a bit and then kind of went, what else is there?
Ooh, fair enough.
Spider-Man looks interesting. And that's when I got into it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, Riverdale is kind of Archie Comics by way of Twin Peaks. So.
Yeah, with a little bit of Gossip Girl thrown in for I'd say.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Interesting.
Well, we are a little bit past the hour mark.
Oh, look at that.
But people should go and watch Killjoys on the 30th.
Yes, June 30th, 9 p.m. on Space Channel and on Sci-Fi everywhere else.
Woo!
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Very excited. And I think a few people are going to try and live tweet whenever we can. So
nice.
Which is always really fun to chit chat and bounce around with the fans while you're watching the show. So, yeah. Hopefully it will be very fun.
Hopefully it will be on Netflix soon, at least in the U.S. It's still not, which is a little weird.
I know.
Yeah, considering also, that Dark Matter, and even Winona Earp, is I can see last season on Netflix now. Like,
we're behind on that, but hopefully soon.
Okay. Yeah, you can still watch it on Sci-Fi's website or Amazon.
Yeah. Well, thanks, guys. That was very much fun again.
Oh, thank you.
As always. Come back anytime, obviously. Just,
For now, we'll cue some music up.
Woo! Music.